Have you ever gone through a period in life when you had sustained bitterness? I know it's tough. Pastors are not immune to this. I remember very vividly not that long ago when I went through a very bitter time. Certain things had just happened, and I'm really good at throwing a great pity party for myself. And so I was just really upset at a lot of the stuff that was happening. And it all really started with that, I don't know if I ever gave you an update on that person. Do you remember a while ago when I told you I had a wedding from someone at Disneyland? Do you remember this? Did I ever tell you the follow-up to that? No, I didn't. Okay, so I went. So this wedding at Disneyland was, first of all, to do a wedding at Disneyland, how much does that cost? Way too much. That is a lot of money. I wish I knew how much it cost. But I probably don't wish I knew how much it cost. You're right. And, you know, I remember I told you that I went over and they were giving these appetizers out, and I went over and there was this, you know, little brown square on a little awesome plate with the butler with the white gloves and everything. I'm like, what is this little brown square? And so I'm like, I got to try one. And I went over and I said, sir, what is this? He goes, oh, it's filet mignon. As an appetizer, that, you know, the characters are all around, people are seeing, like, I'm thinking to myself, this is a lot of money. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to get a good honorarium from this. We had prearranged what it was going to cost. You know, she called me literally on Saturday morning for a Saturday afternoon wedding. And so I was like, you know what? My time is free. I can do this. She said, what do you charge? And I said, well, it's a little bit last minute. So I gave her the price, which, of course, is really low in comparison to thousands and thousands and tens of, maybe even $100,000 for that wedding. Easy $100,000? Easy $100,000. Oh. Yeah, and you're like, sorry, I want to keep my left kidney. I really am attached to it and don't wish to sell it on the open market. Yeah, so I remember I texted her and I said, hey, just following up on this, I know that you just got married, blah, 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 but, you know, I haven't, and she said I couldn't get anything for me on that day because it was just all last minute. And she's like, oh my gosh, on my honeymoon now, I'm going to text my dad, he'll send you the check. Okay, sounds good. A couple weeks later, hey, haven't seen anything, or, you know, oh my gosh, I totally forgot to do that. I'm out right now, but when I get back Monday morning, I promise I will get it done. Text her back, hey, not to be a bug or a bother, you know, don't want to annoy you or anything, still haven't seen anything. No response. She got divorced. Yeah, she's like, I hated your wedding, we didn't last, you suck as a pastor. So I texted again, and soon there comes a point when I got stiffed. You know, that happens, right? Doesn't that happen in life where you go out of your way to do something really, 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 really nice for someone else? And though I would have, you know, enjoyed that, I mean, even just a simple, hey, thank you for that would be fantastic. Or maybe you're one of those people who is really techie, and so people come to you and they say, hey, I really want to get a cool computer, and do you have, like, what should I get? And so, you know, you go on the internet, and you spend hours, and you do all this work and research, and okay, you got to do this, you got to do this, and you do all of this work for these people, and then they say, and you give them the stuff, and they're like, you know what, we decided just to run down to Walmart and buy something on sale. Preach it, yes. So that's a real-life story. I didn't ask Leroy if I could use that story, but that was a story he told me. But, yeah, it's terrible. Or You work all week long, and then you come home, and there's absolutely no seeming gratitude that happens in life. Or maybe for your girlfriend, you went out of your way and prepared the most awesomest birthday party spectacular extravaganza ever known to mankind. And you do all of this stuff and you call all the friends and the family and they come over and you spend all this money at Party City. And then you get there and they all yell surprise and she's like, really? Or you wake up each night with the kid that's screaming, and you're the one that changes the diapers, and you're the one that feeds, and you do all of this work, and yet there doesn't seem to be any sort of gratitude. When we're not appreciated in life, it's very easy for bitterness to kind of take over. And everyone has gone through this. And I think there's ways that we can hopefully, you know, understand why we do what we do. And sure, there's a sermon in here also about serving not in order to get a reward. But at the end of the day, we still like to be thanked. I think I've also shared this with you, that I feel as a pastor, this is probably one of my worst areas that I do. I mean, people come early to set up the coffee. People come early to play. People come early to do the PowerPoint. I don't even know what. Thank you, Joshua, for all that you do for me. Did I ever thank Jacob? You know, probably not. You know, I drag these kids Sunday mornings, and they do all this work, and I never really say, I am terrible. I am one of the worst offenders when it comes to saying thank you. And I always worry, because sometimes when I don't say thank you, I worry that you don't understand the appreciation that I have. And even when it's non-verbalized, I want you to know how truly grateful I am for all of you. You know, just on Monday morning, I came in, I'm doing some extra work on my doctorate, and I come in at 10 o'clock, and Joshua had said, hey, I think I might have left my eye pencil up in the balcony. Can you go check? And I said, sure. So I got here, walked in, and the whole place had been de-decorated. And I'm like, wait, what happened? Some gremlins came in, some Christmas elves showed up. And so thank you. Thank you for doing that. I'm grateful for that. There's people that serve in our nursery, in our kids' church program, and they do this week in and week out dealing with your wonderful children. Heather's much better at it, but in case you haven't heard it, thank you. I appreciate all that you do. I don't ever get involved in individual financial stuff. I am a sinful human being, so I stay away from it. So I don't know who gives or how much you give. You could be the biggest giver here at Searchlight. I would have absolutely no idea who you are. And you might be like, why hasn't he come over and hung out with me? I don't know. And it's because I'm sinful and I will start treating you with favoritism. And James strictly prohibits that. But I want to say thank you. And if you don't give anything, but you show up and you love kids, or you hug a teenager, or you say hello to someone who looks like they're sitting by themselves, or you somehow bless them in other ways, thank you. I appreciate all that you do. This is what Paul is doing in the second half of the book of Ephesians. Obviously, Ephesus was a place that he stayed for a long period of time. And after he was getting ready to leave, it was a very tearful, sad goodbye that took place. So he really has a heart for these people. And yet, it's also got to be difficult because he's no longer with them. He himself is going through tons of problems. I mean, if you want to talk about someone who is having problems, it's Paul, okay? I get it. Paul was probably stiffed on a couple weddings, but it was probably way worse stuff he went through. I mean, he's going through shipwrecks. He's going through beatings. He's going through stonings. He's going through imprisonments. He's going through lashes. He's going through people rejecting him, yelling at him, denouncing him. Paul is going through a ton of things in life, and yet somehow or other, even in the midst of all the garbage in his life, he still has the ability to say thank you to the people around him. Now, that's amazing. Because I don't know about you. First of all, I'm not wired to give thanks. I don't know why. I'm horrible. I'm a sinful human being. My apologies. But even when you are wired to give thanks, when you are going through tough times, how easy is it for you to give thanks to other people? That's hard. But yet Paul does this, and I think this is one of the reasons why Paul seemingly has an attitude that is always something we should be emulating. He is always thankful. Sure, there's times, especially in some of his later letters, like 2 Timothy, it gets a little bit morose. He's getting near the end of his life, but so often he is just filled with love and gratefulness and thankful. I mean, listen to what he says. Verse 15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. That's incredible. Now, again, this is if you're unaware of how I often craft sermons, usually what I like to do is what is God saying to me first, and then I'll try to figure out what he's saying to you. This one, I honestly believe, was directed squarely at me, saying, Mark, you got to be more thankful, and you've got to be more appreciative. And I tell you, I'm not going to do well, but I cannot thank you guys enough for all. And this is what Paul's doing. He is thankful for the Ephesians and all that they're doing, because he's reminded of especially these two areas that they're really good at. Did you catch the two areas? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. If you want, you can just split it up into two easy things, loving God and loving others. But it's more than loving God and loving others. He's also doing it joyfully. Joyfully loving God and loving others. Do you see this as an example that should be incredibly important for us to emulate? But more than that, I'm going to take a gamble on this one, because I had a real hard time. I was listening to a pastor who was preaching this particular text. I like to listen, you know, what other pastors think of this, what are some of their applications that they come with. And this guy, he decided to take it as this was God speaking to the church. And I was a little kind of put off by that at first, because it just sounded odd to me. You know, God doesn't say, I thank myself for you. Obviously, that'd be weird. But I started thinking about that theologically, seeing if that was an actual thing that we could do. And it is true. So much of God's word, we would say, is God speaking to us. You know, when it says, go into all the world baptizing and teaching, we don't say that is only for 11 white guys called into ministry, right? We would say that's a great commission that applies to everyone. It's God speaking it to them, obviously, but also speaking it beyond that. So I started thinking, that's a very interesting thought. If we take this as God speaking this to you and me, does God appreciate what you do? This is one I don't think I hit that much on. I really don't. Usually it's God's disappointed and angry with your horrible choices in life. And yet God is very loving and gracious and embraces you and says, I still want you to be a part of my kingdom and you are still my children. Usually that's, but do I ever get into the idea, the concept of God being thankful for us? And I did. I did a quick little search. It wasn't exhaustive, but sure enough, there's nothing in Scripture when it says thanks and God in the same sentence. It's always us giving thanks to God. But there are passages. Probably the most clearest one that comes is when we have done our work and we have generated whatever God has called us to generate here on earth. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Is that giving? Is he giving? I don't know if we would put it in that way, but it's kind of an interesting concept. And I was thinking to myself, this would be helpful for me. Because I don't know about you, when I go out of my way for other people and they don't appreciate me, usually what I tend to do is just not do it anymore, right? It's simple. Well, you didn't thank me the last time, why would I do it again? And I got to remember why I'm doing it. And probably the easiest way for me to understand that is to say, okay, God, I've done this. And he said, well, even if you've given a cold cup of water to a little child, it's as if you're doing it for me, so thank you. I started thinking, wow, maybe that's how I can change what I do. Maybe I don't have to have the bitterness against Disneyland Lady. Because why did I do it? Did I do it in order to get paid? No. I did it because someone was in need, and I don't know if she would have legally gotten married that day without someone actually signing the certificate properly, signing the license. And I did it just because. Now, I'm thankful for the filet mignon, and wish I would have had 10 more of those just eating up my... No, I'm just kidding. I'm not bitter. But do you see how this could maybe change for you in your life? When you have to wake up in the middle of the night to change a kid's diaper for the 500th time. Why am I doing this? Are you doing it in order to get thanks? No, you do it just because. But then you remember, God is thankful for you. God is thankful for everything that you have ever done for someone else. He would actually like to personally say thank you for everything that you have done and that has never gone noticed. You have done so much for so many other people, whether it be a spouse or a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a child or a parent, or a pastor or a church or a next door neighbor or a Starbucks barista. You've gone out of your way to do things and not gotten thanks, but God says, thank you. Now, that's a great way to start the new year. So Paul, he's going to keep going. And he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. This is really important, especially again as we're starting this kind of new year and a lot of people are thinking, how should I change? What should I be doing? Are you concerned about knowing God better? I think for some of us, you know, me included, I can easily fall into the trap of I know God enough. Now, knowing God enough is probably the most dangerous place to be because you know just enough to be dangerous. You know just enough to understand what he's doing. You know just enough, but that's not supposed to stop you from continuing to grow. That's not supposed to stop you from continuing getting more and more revelation from God. And what that is designed to say is, especially with wisdom and revelation, it's learning and understanding God's word and then figuring out how those things apply to your life. Now, I've been doing this for a while. I've been in church for a long time. I can guarantee you, without a shadow of a doubt, I don't know very much about God. Some of you might be like, wait, you know way more than me. It's not saying much. It really isn't. I know other people who know a lot more because it's not just about what I know. It's not about verses I can recite. It's not about songs I've got memorized. It's not about prayers or creeds that I've got committed to memory. It's about how I continue to interact with God on a daily basis and by growing in that, by growing in wisdom and revelation. That's, to Paul, one of the primary things for Christians. I mean, think about it. Paul is, he's in prison or he's been beaten up. I mean, he's all these things. He's got to give, what is the most important things I can say to the Ephesians? And he's saying, I thank God for you and I hope you still grow. Don't ever stop. If you think you have enough, keep going. You're only scratching the surface. In fact, I believe, in honor of Lynn Moore, Lynn Moore and I had been talking about this years ago, and he had said, the more I learn, and the more I know, the more I realize how much I really don't know. So again, that's important, especially for youth, you know, confirmation. Oh, confirmation is graduation, right? When you get confirmed, that's when you leave the church, hey? There's this Catholic church, and they had a problem with bats that were part of their bell tower. And so, you know, called up a couple of his pastor friends and said, hey, I've got this problem. I got the cliche. I've got bats in the belfry. And I don't know what to do about these things. And so one of his Catholic buddies says, I know exactly what to do. I'm going to come over, and I'll get rid of them because I have a rite of exorcism, and we're going to exorcise those demon birds out of your... Okay, great. So he goes up there, and sure enough, nothing. He calls up his charismatic buddy. His charismatic buddy says, no problem. All you got to do is pray him out. You just got to pray him out by the power of Grayskull. Get out. Go. And he tried, did not work. And then he called the Lutheran, and the Lutheran went up there and then came back down, and all the bats left. And I was like, what happened? He says, real easy. All I did was confirm them all. Confirmation is not graduation. You continue to grow. That's why then there's youth group. And then after youth group, what do? You go to college. What should you do in college? You should still stay connected. You still need to be going to church. Thank you, Zane and Jacob. And is that Peyton up there? There's a glare. I can't tell. You guys are awesome. Zane, even though Zane's out of college. And then you become a young adult. And then you become an old adult. And we still need to learn. I love this. This is the focus he's just pushing on them. Wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul, you know, he doesn't mince words. He kind of just piles on accolade after accolade, and he's trying to make sure and remind them that most importantly, you got to have the hope that God has given to you, the hope of eternal life, the hope of his power, the hope that understands that this life, though it may end for us, it still goes on in a new life in Jesus Christ in heaven. That is the hope that we are called to. This is the hope that he's constantly beating into their heads. You need to have that hope because there's this power, and that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Is that a mighty power? You know, I loved it when I was in college and when I was a young adult. People always called me up and they're like, hey, you know, can you help us move? I had a truck. Don't ever get a truck. It's dumb. Because people always ask you to move. And so but I was also young. I was a young guy. I was a little bit trimmer back then. I think I had a little bit more muscle mass. I'd like to think. That's what I remember in my head. And people would always, they would see me come up like, oh, this is great. He's going to be able to help out. Now imagine if you invited me over and I'm going to help you move and you saw me walking up. What would you be thinking? Oh, please, can someone else help me out? This guy does not have the power in order to do what I'm asking him to do. This is why you can put any problem, any issue, any circumstance, anything that's going on in your life and say, does God have the power to solve this problem? The answer is always a resounding yes. Why? Why do we know that? Well, yeah, he's the creator of all things. He spoke and the world came into being. But more than that, he created life, brought it into life. That's a great power. And we messed it all up. And we have that horrible thing called death that is always seeming to nip at our heels. And God says, I have power over that. The same power that God used to raise him from the dead is the same power that he gives to you and me on a daily basis. It's the same promise of hope. Whatever's happening, he sees it, he knows it. You may not like what's going on. You may not like the lashings. You may not like the beatings. You may not like the diaper changing. You may not like being stiffed by a Disneyland person. But God says, I have power to always be with you, protect you, carry you. Ultimately, you will die, and I will raise you from the dead. Now, I don't know about you, that's what I like to do every time I get into the pity party, is I am constantly reminding myself of other people who have it off more worse than I. Is it pretty easy to do that? I usually, if you don't, there's easy ways you can Google it. I remember, I think I told you about the one guy, he'd been born, he has like no legs and like a kind of an arm, and he has kind of a little flipper thing, and he can speak, and he talks, and he is the strongest Christian I've ever met in my life. He spoke at the Anaheim Mayor's Prayer Breakfast. I don't know this guy's name. You know, that sounds correct. Nick Vojevich. That sounds correct. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Holy cow. And he's talking about praising God, and I'm like, you have no arms. You have no legs. How can you be praising God? And he's like, oh, I just go around and tell people all about Jesus Christ and all that he's done for me. And I'm thinking, what has God done for you? You have nothing. But then he says, you may think I have nothing, but he says, I have everything. Because there's going to come a day when I go to heaven and I'm going to have a body. And it's going to work perfectly. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy has it all correct. So now if ever I feel down and low, that's what I do. If ever I think that my circumstances are worse off than others, that's what I do. I think of Paul and I think of all of his stuff. And Paul, every time, is talking about, I'm thankful for you. Grow in your faith. God's going to give you hope. He's going to give you revelation. You've got a glorious inheritance. You're going to enjoy his mighty strength. Because I raised Jesus from the dead, I'm going to raise you from the dead. I love it. In verse 21, I know I cut it off. It's tough because Paul in his run-on sentences, it's like a preacher or something. Like it just keeps going. And what was that? Run-on chapters. Yeah, it's just more and more and more. It's like, Paul, like, take a breath. It's like, no, because Paul was like me. He's, you know, as he starts talking and the scribe's going, he's like, do you want to just put an and there? How about a semicolon? A nice little semicolon. We can just break this up a little bit. No, Paul just talks and talks and talks. He's crazy. But I love it because he wants to make sure Paul is excited. Paul is trying to tell his people, you have a lot to look forward to. Then again, this isn't, I hate those preachers. I hate those people that say, oh, even in the midst of everything, I'm going to put on a plastic smile on my face and everything's going to be great. No, Paul was very realistic. He knew all the problems that were going on, but he still said, I thank God for you. And let me tell you, one of the fastest ways I get out of bitterness and out of my pity party, the fastest way is to go and serve someone else. Is to go up to someone and say, thank you for what you're doing. Now be careful. You know, it's not, hey, Chris, thanks so much. And do you have anything to say to me, maybe? Yeah, we don't want one of those. You know, like when you're giving your wife says, I'll give you a neck rub, and she gives you a great neck rub, and then afterwards she's like, okay, so now my turn. Not that Heather never does that, ever. I love you, honey. She's at home watching right now. Don't say thank you. Don't be grateful to other people in order to. If you start selflessly serving, selflessly giving, you will find out quickly how your attitude changes. No greater example in Scripture, obviously, than Jesus Christ, who came down to a very ungrateful land, to ungrateful people, healing lepers, and only one comes back? Well, thank you. I don't think I'll be healing any more lepers today. Could you imagine that? No. He continued to heal, and he continued to give bread, and he's like, I'm going to give you bread, but more than that, I'm going to give you the bread of life. And they're like, oh, that's great with the bread of life and stuff. Can I have some more food, please? Oh, you guys not. But he still served. And then with people grabbing his arms and his legs, holding down his wrists as nails are pounded into his hands and his feet, he still says things like, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Hey, you on the cross next to me, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Hey, Mary, Mom, don't cry. John's going to take care of you. John, take care of her. Mary, take care. He continues to serve while he's dying because the cross in and of itself is the greatest act of service and love anyone could have ever done at any time. That's the power of being grateful. It's the power of being thankful. It's the power of us not focusing on our own situation, on our own difficulties, but it's us looking constantly to the needs of others. And when that becomes your focus, amazing things happen. Because verse 21, far above all rule and authority. George was really crazy. Wasn't that amazing? I knew exactly where I was. You were going to yell it out which verse I was at, would you? Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet. What is he thinking of at this point? Put all things. Well, he put all your problems under his feet. He put all the cancer under his feet. He put leukemia, child hunger, and autism. He put the stomach flu under his feet. dear Lord, you have the power. Just, but most importantly, he put death under his feet, conquering death forever. Placed it under his feet and appointed him, Jesus Christ, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I mean, did you get, and appointed to be head over everything for the church. I mean, do you understand how he continually still is with us today? I think that's amazing, because I don't know about you. I can, again, be very ungrateful when it comes to God. It is very easy for me to not be thankful. I do not remember the last time I thanked God that I could breathe. I don't. I can't remember. I cannot tell you the last time I thanked God that I could walk. I can't tell you the last time I thanked God that I woke up in the morning and I was alive. Maybe that's part of what needs to change, because God has done all this. But still, what's so amazing is he still is saying thanks to you. Thank you for being nice to that waitress who is slammed at Denny's. Thank you for being kind and not honking your horn at that idiot that just cut you off. Thank you that you did all of this stuff for your spouse and they did not even notice. Thank you for all those mornings you woke up with your kids when they were sick and no one else said thank you, but God does. Thank you for being the church, God's hands and feet here on earth. And may we continue to go out and share what we're thankful for, thanking others, but also taking the moment of being appreciated by God himself. Let's pray. Father, we are sometimes not very grateful people. We are, I have not done things very well at times. But Lord, I'm so thankful for all these people that that come and they serve in so many different ways. They give and they give and they give. And my wife says thank you because she's awesome like that, and I'm an idiot and I don't say anything. But I pray that right now you would just whisper in their ear, thank you. Well done, good and faithful servant. And Lord, maybe some of us just have that bitterness that's taken a deep seed into our soul. And really all it does is poison the rest of our life. Poisons our interactions with our family and friends. It sours our relationships. I pray that right now that would just be yanked out of our hearts. As you show us such great love and appreciation. And how you continue to chase after us even when we run away. How you continue to follow after us even when we hide away. You still come after us because of your incredible, great love for us. Thank you that we get a chance to celebrate this time in communion. That we get to receive your body and blood, bread and wine. As we get to receive again the forgiveness of all of our sins. And today, maybe we could even hear those wonderful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. So thank you for all that you've done for us. And may we find times that we can serve others and give, not to receive anything back, but simply because that's good for our souls. It's good for our faith. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.